Is it the end of the world? Yes.
Theme song.
It is the end of the world. And it's also the beginning. The beginning
of a new podcast.
Brand new, solid
Juggalo podcast.
It's the beginning of a brand new Juggalo shit.
Hey!
What's up, y'all? How you doing? We are here.
What is up?
We're doing it once again. The sound is working, as you can tell.
Cool. Check.
We are
check.
Good. How you doing, man?
Pretty good, man. How you doing?
I'm all right. This is Deck One Delt, a Juggalo podcast for all you viewers. My name's Keezy.
I am Carver Law, y'all.
Carver Law. Today, we are going to be discussing The Ringmaster. All right. So, The Ringmaster is ICP's second Joker's card.
Yes. One that I hold dear.
We all hold dear. We tried to do this last week, and we had some technical difficulties, so we're doing it again. We're going to march on through, and we're going to just... I mean, it just gives us another excuse to listen to this fucking glorious album, honestly.
Honestly, I could do a review of this album every day until I die.
Do you just want to make our podcast reviewing The Ringmaster every week?
Yes. Every time. I fucking love this album,
fuck
man.
Fuck yeah, man. Me too. So before we get into The Ringmaster, Carver's got some problems.
You're good, man.
And we're going to talk about a few things that have been going on in the Juggalo world, all right? Well, number one, the main thing I wanted to discuss, I made a couple notes on, was this Twisted interview on Shade 45. They were on the Rude Jude show. Whatever the fuck it's called.
Rude Jude. See, I didn't know. Was it Shade 45?
Yeah.
Is it like affiliated?
Yes.
I had no clue.
I don't know that Eminem actively like participates in what goes on the channel. I have no idea what his involvement is, but
he's probably so far removed from.
Yeah. He's definitely getting paid. Like Shade 45 is like his channel.
Okay.
So Rude Jude, who is, for those that don't know, he's been like a. He's been doing this show for a long ass time.
I know nothing about him. I didn't know.
As far as I know, he used to like do this shit like on whatever radio station was in his town. I don't know. I think it sounded like he's from Detroit from listening to this.
Oh, really?
I mean, he knew a lot about it and he was like making references to Detroit and shit.
Okay.
But nevertheless, did you ever watch Jenny Jones back in the day?
I mean, yeah, kind of. Not really, though, but well, I know who it was.
Well, Rude Jude was on Jenny Jones all the time. Like,
really?
He would, if you don't know Jenny, for those young folks, in the mid-90s, there was a talk show called Jenny Jones with this lady named Jenny Jones. It was like a fucking... like Oprah type of situation. She would get people on her show, more like Maury. She would get people on her show and like talk to them, and it was usually some fucked up families or shit going on. But I actually like Jenny Jones.
Was she like a blonde, like a blonde white chick?
Yeah. Blonde, middle aged, very boring, but her show was interesting. Like I liked it because number one, it came on like the middle of the day and they reran at like 3 a.m.
Okay.
But it was always like entertaining. She had some wacky shit going on. And this, I have a point here.
Okay.
There's a reason I brought up Jenny Jones. I just wanted to go on a Jenny Jones rant on this podcast. That's really it. Rude Jude used to come on there and he would like come pretty much roast like people on the show. Like she'd be like, all right, let's bring out Rude Jude. He'd be like, oh man, look at your fucking hand. Like he would come on. Like,
really?
Yeah. But he was so fucking funny. He was witty. Like when you knew Rude Jude was coming on, you're excited. You're like, fuck yeah, Rude Jude's on that episode.
I'm mad I didn't know about this.
Yeah, man. Watch some clips, man. He was really funny on there. But anyways, he got a radio show and, he had Twisted on it, as far as I know, it was last week or the week before, maybe. I just listened to it. well, the Cliff Notes version, they said some pretty just weird things, I guess, that's to put it nicely. The notes I wrote down. Oh, they claim that Rude Jude flat out asked him, which I give him props. He asked him some shit and like they kind of tried to deflect him. He's like, no, but really, like, why did you all leave Psychopathic? Like, what happened? Like, they're like, oh, it was just some bullshit. He's like, oh, what kind of bullshit? You know, he like,
it's like actually digging.
Yeah. He like pressed him a little bit and, it comes out. And to be honest, they may have said this before, but this is the first time I've heard them, flat out say it, that the reason they left Psychopathic was because they had a difference in opinion about the whole gang thing. And they did not want to sue the FBI. Does that sound fair? Like, is that what the idea you heard?
It changes every time I hear something. I don't remember them saying anything like that. I remember them saying the FBI, the march and the FBI thing was blown out of proportion. It was just a publicity stunt.
Yeah, they did say that.
I remember them saying that stuff, but I don't remember them saying that's the whole reason
why they
left.
When he was asking them why they left, that was like the reason they gave.
Really?
Like they try to say it was creative differences and this and that, but they immediately dive right into like that being like, they said they wanted to do one thing and we didn't agree. We had we split ways there.
They didn't want to actively be part. Well, okay. They didn't want to sue the FBI, or they just didn't want to be affiliated with ICP because they didn't want to be affiliated with the whole gang label at all.
I think it's a little of both, but the way they portray it, it's as if ICP had a nefarious reason for doing this. They literally say on the interview that, you hear about these juggalos that lost their job or they got arrested, blah, 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 this and that for having their tattoos. But then we started digging and this guy, that was mentioned in the police report, but he also had heroin. They literally say some shit like that.
Started digging.
Yeah. They're trying to say that, ICB's lying for publicity about the whole gang shit. They almost make it seem like the FBI never labeled them a gang. They really are like saying it like that.
Yeah, that's complete horse shit. The funny thing about it is the way Twisted is like composing themselves as of late for the past few years, they would fucking love a publicity stunt that size.
Yeah.
The march got huge coverage.
Yeah.
It was on all kinds of, websites and articles and it got positive coverage.
Yeah.
It wasn't, and ICP gave a platform to everybody there.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how ICP was with Twisted. They would have been like, yes, they would have put them right beside them. Twisted would have loved that publicity. They're fucking that doesn't sound right at all.
I agree.
Why would they turn down that publicity? It's not because, it's a publicity stunt and that's the only reason they didn't want anything to do with it. They would have loved that shit.
Here's what I think. I think it's almost definitely there's money involved somewhere, but that's probably part of it. Maybe they were already kind of a foot out the door, like wanting to do their own thing. And this was the thing that finally pushed them over the edge. But I think that they
used it as an excuse.
I think that they literally were scared of like this whole gang thing and they really wanted to like distance themselves from it.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. They were scared. I think they were scared and they were just backpedaling, man. They were huge and they were a huge integral part in actually portraying themselves as gang. I mean, they were huge in the writers. Yeah. They were part in the writers. Yeah. They were a big part of the whole gang label. I don't think it was honestly just ICP. By the time they brought Twisted on, they were completely out of the gang shit anyway.
Yeah.
They were in the cartoony horror rap at that point. There was nothing left. And then they got together and started parodying and tongue-in-cheek doing gang shit Anybody Killer and Blaze is all that, they were gangster rap with a horror twist.
Yeah, you're right.
I think ICP was the furthest one from gangster rap on the label at that time.
Yeah,
I back in those days.
They did say like another thing that annoyed me about them is like Jude was asking them like how they went from their start and how they met. He's like, he literally asked him like, how'd y'all get with ICP? How'd you meet with ICP? Like they talked about how they went on, they did a few shows opening up for him as House of Crazies. And then Jamie Madra or one of them, I won't pin it on one cause I honestly don't know, but they were literally like, yeah. And then like the dude from ICP liked our stuff. Like they really said the dude from ICP.
Yeah. They're trying to rewrite history at this point, it seems.
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand what the fuck they're like. Motive is because they in that interview they even say like You know, they address like the beef, like Jude asks them, you know, he does a good job. I implore you to listen to it if you haven't, but they kind of shrug it off though. Like, man, it's, you know, it's whatever, you know, they are doing their thing. We're doing ours. We're just going to keep it moving and we're just doing us. And, you know, they pretty much just like brush it all away and act like they're just going to keep pumping out fucking music. And like, Jude even asked him, like, well, the Juggalos are like a certain type of people. Like, you know, what do they think? And he's like, you know, it's like mom and dad are fighting, you know, they literally say that.
Wow. Mom and dad. So they bring attention to the fact that they were apparently in a marriage or they were close, but yet let's still call him the dude from ICP.
Yeah. That really rubbed me the wrong way. Like bad.
As much as we love them and supported them back in the, you know, late 90s and early 2000s. I mean, it was monumental support and you know, what the Juggalo world, how we accepted them in, and they wrote it the whole fucking time, man.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah, they had no problem riding that fucking wave, and they literally kept saying, like, you know, it's still family or whatever. Like, we're still, like, our fans are still Juggalos. Like, I mean, in all honesty, I don't think they fucking, to your point, I don't want to make this a twisted hate fest. It's really not about that, but I don't think they should really even be like addressing Juggalos at this point. I think they should just call them their fans that are fucking twisted serial killers or whatever the fuck they want to call them. But they really need, if they're going to go as far as to say the dude from ICP, you don't get to call yourself or your fans a Juggalo anymore. That's bullshit.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Madrox and Monoxide, but you will never be able to wash the stink of Jay's dick from your mouth. It's never going to happen. You rode their balls all the way to the level of success you have. All your fan base started out as fucking Juggalos. Not one fucking person outside of the Juggalo world gave a fuck about you guys. ICP took you under their wing, put you to where you're at, and you fucked them over. Like, that's just how I see it. It's cool. Like, I don't hate you. Do what you do. Like, I don't think anybody was mad that they left the label. Yeah. I didn't give a fuck about that. I completely understood. Cut out the middleman and get your money. Yeah. I agree with that.
And they even acted like everything was going to be cool. And I even was like, all right, man, yeah, I get it. Whatever, do your thing.
I was like, fuck yeah, man. Like, they'll still be doing the gatherings. It's still cool. Like, but no, man, you realize the true nature when things start surfacing, all the bullshit, them getting caught on video talking shit, not thinking they're being recorded. That's happened. I don't know if you've heard about that. Yeah. There's been instances where Jamie's talking shit, not knowing he's being recorded. And then the Juggalos take it to CPN and like show him, he plays it on the podcast.
Tight.
So,
I mean, good. Don't try to fucking fake the funk, you know, you've been in this world long enough to know like that you shouldn't be like trying to pull a fast one on the fucking Juggalos.
Yeah.
Like,
straight fake, man. You can't pull it over us. That's for damn sure. Like, hell no. We've been around long enough. I know you're trying to claim that you weren't part of the Eminem beef, but fucking Madrox, that's your voice.
Yeah.
That's your voice in Slim Anus.
No
buddy.
One like, else's voice. Yours.
That's you talking shit, look, man. Like,
look, I made a note. Said they had nothing to do with Eminem beef when Jamie did the vocals on Slim Anus.
Yeah, but they know that no one's going to be able to prove that.
Right. Because that was on an ICP record. Yeah. Like, no one's. Yeah. He's doing a funny voice, but 100% Jamie Madrox. You can hear that same voice from Slim Anus on every Twisted record.
There's other songs they've tried to deny being part of too. I know Monoxide has tried to deny being on a gay hating song that the Supervillains group did.
Yeah, I recall that song.
And he
vaguely
tried. I guess there's something about he tried to deny he was on. They had anything to do with that or that song, and he's legit on there. So yeah, they're legit just trying to rewrite history, man. Book burning. They're going back through the past, trying to completely wash the stink of the Juggalo culture off them, but at the same time still say, oh, we're family.
Yeah,
because they know there's still Juggalos that like them. They don't want to completely wash it off. Sorry, man, Jay's dick's going to be in your mouth forever. Like, you ain't getting rid of it.
I wanted to quickly play literally like the very first line on their Twisted's latest album, which is, it came out in 2017, Continuous Evolution. I don't know what the fuck it's called. Continuous Evolution of Life's question marks. Is that really what it's called? I don't know. No. But the very first line, hold on, listen to this. I've always remembered this. Hold on, let's see.
Do the job anymore, cause I'm a gangbanging juggler up according to the cop.
Right?
Yeah, what, I mean, what is that supposed to, what does that mean?
He's literally said, I can't get a job anymore because I'm a gangbanging juggalo. That's literally the first line of your fucking album.
So is that shit talking, or is that, or is that trying to like use it as like something to say meaningful in his song?
Yes, he's appealing to the juggalo world, saying like, yep, I'm just like you. I can't get a job, and you know, fucking Twisted, I can't get a job anymore because I'm a gangbanger. He's literally admitting in the very first fucking line of the album that the Juggalo gang thing is a real thing, and then they literally denied it.
Yeah,
is a thing.
Dude, like, the hypocrisy of these dudes is fucking mind boggling.
Yeah,
Twisted, I'm sorry, bro, but we know.
Yeah,
we know. We've been there since you fucking started on the label. We know, like, it's, yeah. I'm sorry,
I saw you at the fucking House of Horrors show and nobody gave a fuck about you.
You know? Guys might be able to, you know, trick these new school juggalos, if you even have fucking new school, I don't know. You may be able to trick these young ones or these idiots that don't pay attention to shit, but I'm sorry. You can't change the past, buddy, and it's on record. You know, the shit you've done is on the internet. It's never going away.
Yeah. Well, now that we've burned this bridge,
we burned.
Twisted, if you're ever willing to come talk to us on our show, I'd love nothing more than to sit down and talk to you guys. And I would give you the respect you deserve, but I mean, it probably won't be much.
Oh, you wouldn't be able to talk to him. Everything we'd ask, or it would be Twisted. Twisted, exactly, Twisted. Like, they don't speak truth at all. Like, it doesn't matter.
It's a shame, man.
Everything that comes out of their mouth now is bullshit.
I honestly am disappointed. Like, it's more disappointed than like anger inducing. I'm just like, God, why in the fuck are you doing this?
You know what? To me, it's fine because I like, as much as I did support them and like them and even bought a few albums. I'm not gonna lie. I only ever bought three of their albums.
Yeah.
Ever. Yeah. No, four. Sorry, okay. Four.
I mean, that's a hefty amount for one artist. Regardless.
Most Tasteless, Freak Show, Mirror Mirror, and Green Book. Those are the only
albums they've ever made.
Only albums I ever bought at Twisted.
Yeah.
But they did make some more albums that I like.
Sure.
But I did have this little seed of doubt in my soul the entire time. I always had this thought in the back of my mind that Twisted was, they were fake. Yeah. I've always had that. Always. I suppressed it and didn't acknowledge it for a long time. And then as the years went by, it was like, okay, man, they're still here. They're cool. They're cool.
I agree.
But man,
you should have known from the moment they fucking left ROC in the dust. That goes to show their allegiance right there, how loyal they are.
Yeah.
Fucking, you're in a group with three people actively touring and doing shows, and then you're just like, peace the fuck out, bro. We're doing this thing. And then in that interview, they address that. Like, Jude asks them, like, what happened? What happened to the other guy? And like, they're like, oh, they deflect. And like, they're like, oh, you know, we brought him with us. We came up and they came up. We brought Blaze. We brought ABK. They were our homies. And they literally, I'm not kidding you, don't even mention the ROC.
Wow. Just wow.
I mean, why is the ROC fucking loyal to them? Boys from back in the day or whatever, but you're really going to like let them keep doing you dirty like that, dude? God damn it.
Wow,
that's how it looks to us. I mean, regardless of what it really is, that's how it fucking looks to me.
I will say this. ICP and Psychopathic are not perfect.
No.
Jay is not perfect by any means, but he never, ever on record denies the shit that he's done.
Yeah.
He never denies starting the bullshit with Eminem when Eminem never really did anything.
Yeah.
They started. ICP basically started by saying, fuck your flyer.
Yeah.
And then going on that radio station and playing Slim Anus.
Yeah.
You know, they don't deny it.
They talked about that during that Vlad interview. That's where I got that information you just said. One thing that's interesting about that, though, I don't know. I think their timelines might be a little jacked up anyways, because the way I remember it, then again, I wasn't knee deep. Well, I was knee deep in it, but I'm not fucking Violent J. I thought they were friends with Howard Stern. I assume the beef went down like this. Eminem went on Howard Stern. Howard's like, hey, like, what about ICP? You like those guys? Because Howard likes ICP. And he knew Eminem was from Detroit. And Eminem was like, nah, fuck them. Like,
it wasn't Howard Stern. I think it was a local place in Detroit.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
But that still may be true. It's just a different radio station. But
I assumed it was after that that they did Slim Ace.
Yeah, they did something. Yeah, Eminem said or did something that prompted them to make that song.
Okay.
And then they played it on the radio station. And then the day after, Eminem came into that same radio station, and the radio station was like, here, look what ICP did.
Okay, yeah.
And played it in front of them. So I guarantee you Eminem probably wouldn't have took it any further if they never would have done that song. Like, ICP were just, they were zoning. They were in the zone at that era. They were like, fuck it. They didn't care, you know? They were like, fuck this, dude. And Twisted was all about it, man. They were all fucking about it, trying to act like...
Yeah, in the interview, they're literally like, he's like, what about the Eminem beef or whatever? And they're like, oh, no, we had nothing to do with that. That was all them. Yeah. They literally say that was all them.
I can see Madrox not really being part of it because, honestly, he seems like a scared bitch. Like, I'm not going to lie. He seems like, sorry, Madrox, but you kind of seem like...
Quit apologizing to him,
You kind of seem like you... Oh, I don't know, man. That's Eminem. Because, from the same city and shit.
You say that shit to his face?
That was... I just said Monoxide, right?
You said Madrox.
Sorry, Monoxide. Scared bitch. Oh, I'd say it to his face. I don't give a fuck. Even if he could... Even if there might be little inkling he could beat me up. Seriously doubt it. But... Here, we're talking about fighting.
I know. I love it.
It sucks, man, because I really do like Monoxide. I think he's a pretty good rapper.
Yeah,
I think he's actually one of the best out of the entire Psychopathic crew.
I would agree with that.
I even bet more so than Madrox. Madrox is kind of corny the way he raps. Monoxide had a little... His lines had more weight to him.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I agree.
Monoxide, I think you're a scared bitch. You probably didn't want to have anything do it. Madrox was so easily led around like a fucking dog that he just jumped on whatever. They were like, hey, Madrox, get on the mic and say something about it. Oh, yeah, sure. You know, and he just jumped right on. Madrox didn't give a fuck because he's that like...
The Fudge Packer.
Yeah, he was that easily controlled, honestly.
Yeah.
And that's what I totally think it is. I think Madrox is the bitch, Monoxide's the leader.
Yeah, I got you. Know. Yeah, for sure, man. Well,
I'm sorry, guys. Let me apologize again. I'm sorry. I didn't want this to be a Twisted hate fest.
Yeah, it's not. That was never our goal or intention.
No,
but
fuck no, man.
But, you know, like we talked about this before the show. Like we truly don't want to like sit here and make this podcast like always shitting on Twisted or anything like that. Like we're not really trying to put out that vibe, but we had to address this particular interview because we're keeping it real.
Yeah, it does kind of hurt. I mean, that the shit they backpedaled with that interview, man, I have to say something.
It was frustrating.
Yeah.
You know?
I've tried to keep my mouth shut and not pick sides, and I'm still not going to pick sides. I've always, honestly, I picked ICP's side. They've always been it's just them.
The constant.
Twisted was always the sideshow. I never... whatever. Twisted's the sideshow.
No one ever says Twisted in ICP.
Yeah, but I still, I don't know, man. I'm sorry.
Have you ever talked to a juggalo that if you ask them like what they like to listen to, they're like, yeah, I like Twisted, I like ICP. No one has ever done that, I don't think.
No, I've heard juggalos say I like Twisted and they don't like ICP.
Yeah, I've heard of that too.
That's been going on since day one.
Those people are just liars. They just can't. All that it is they want to like ICP, but like they're embarrassed about it, so they say they like Twisted, but they secretly listen to ICP. So to all y'all, I know you. I know your game. I've been in this shit for too long.
I will say, this album, it's green. So sorry, the green screen, but this is the original Green Book.
Yeah,
the original pressing. I have it. I love this album. I was listening to it the other day in a car. I can't deny it. I love this.
That's
album.
That's Twisted's magnum opus. I think.
Yeah, fucking
I honestly
love that
think
album.
So. That like they were. A group to create that album, you know what I mean? Don't get me wrong, Most Tasteless, Freak Show, in my mind, are classics, and I will bump those forever. All three of those albums, and Mirror Mirror, honestly, I have a lot of nostalgia for that album.
Most Tasteless sounds the closest to an ICP CD, like an ICP sounding style that they ever got.
Yes.
Then Freak Show, they took it a little step above, and it sounded pretty good. And then Green Book, they just found this perfect mix.
Yeah, they level out, you know. So yeah, Mirror Mirror was way experimental on some shit, but super dope. So it's a lot. Anyways, we're not getting into Twisted.
Not gonna take it away from Twisted, but guess what? Twisted, you will never be the status ICP is.
You had your place here,
and
it's filled up with just more ICP now.
Even in just the eyes of the music world, you will never ever rise above ICP. I know you're in your own lane and you're like, fuck ICP, we're gonna do our thing, but you will never rise above ICP. You will never be a household name like ICP is. It doesn't matter how good of rappers you are compared to them. It doesn't matter how good your music is compared
to them.
How
many Rude Jews you go on.
It doesn't matter how many festivals you guys do. You'll never be what ICP is. They will be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You guys won't ever get close. So I'm sorry.
Wow, it's just so how real. That is so real. God, that's real.
I mean, Twisted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. No, give me a fucking break. Never. ICP is doable.
I agree. All right, man. Well, now that shit's out of the way, we'll start listening to Ringmaster. You want to do that?
Fuck yeah.
I've listened to this album over the past week. I've probably listened to it like 5 times. I've been rocking out to it quite a bit.
It's a glorious album. And that... that opening,
it gives me, I
hate to say it, but it gives me the feels. Like,
yeah,
I tear up. Like, I almost tear up with this. I love it.
Yeah, man. I listened closer, especially after we discussed it last week, and I said I never really listened close to what they say or anything, but let me turn this down so I can hear myself. I get your point. You mentioned that you think that this song is like the beginning of the like true Dark Carnival.
I did say that this is them. This is the true opening to the Dark Carnival in my eyes.
Yeah,
the Dark Carnival had a decent one, but it was more of the traveling ghetto.
Yes, that's what the Carnival of Carnage.
Yeah, Carnival Carnage was the traveling ghetto. They didn't quite have the carnival like intro.
Yeah,
this one truly. It's movie quality feeling, like scenery.
It really is. You're 100% right, especially with this like gypsy talking. Look, the carnival music like kicks in.
Yeah.
And then like you immediately start hearing the yelling. And I mean, it's like,
yeah,
it's a classic ICP opening track. And it really is like great. It's a perfect like introduction to the clowns in general, you know?
Exactly. As good as Carnival of Carnage was, this truly solidified what the clowns were and what their gimmick was and what their whole purpose was going to be. And it was just this set it in stone, man. This was hammer and chisel, boom, boom, boom. Here it is. This is what we are. And like, I fucking love it. The beat, the music, the way it's mixed. I love the
scratching.
I love the low quality kind of sound, but it still has a wide open sound, like an atmospheric sound.
Yeah, I really listened to it with a different ear after you mentioned that to me, or mentioned that last week. I like that. That's a really cool observation that I kind of took for granted. So,
are you saying this track?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and I, a lot of people did. A lot of people that I knew anyway and I talked to, and I just kind of, I was like, maybe it's not that good, but I just always loved this track, man. I remember listening to it in school, headphones on, like in classroom. I remember listening to it at home playing games, you know, like PlayStation 1 games, Twisted Metal. Just the nostalgic. Like, that's why I'm saying it brings me to tears, because the nostalgia factor is so fucking thick and heavy with this album. It's man, it hits me hard.
Yeah, I don't have I have a little bit of nostalgia for this album, but I, you know, when I first listened to this album, I didn't love it. It took me quite a while to really start finding shit to like about this album, because I had listened to Malenko, then Riddlebox, and a couple of the EPs, and then I was like, I might as well get them all. And like I got this one at the time, and Back then, this shit like went right over my head, to be quite honest. Like this,
that's crazy, man. I guess I can see why, because maybe it's a little more. What do I want to say? What's the word?
I don't know. It's more raw and like
visceral.
That's true. I think that's a good description. Yeah, it is more visceral. But yeah, what I was going to say though is I'm glad that you mentioned that, you know, that this is kind of like a good introduction because, you know, doing this podcast with you, you're kind of bringing to light some shit to songs that I've heard 100 million times over the last 20 years. And like, I hear them with a different ear after talking to you about it. So it's really cool. It's been really fun doing that.
Yeah, that's fucking awesome, man. I'm glad. Yeah, and the same for me. And that's why this podcast is, I think, a good idea, because it can really, really reignite the things about this music and shed new light on things that we haven't seen.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wax Museum, man, just fucking classic. Maybe the name throws people off, and if you haven't really opened your mind to that, and if you smoke or something, fucking smoke and just listen to that, man. Like when you're zoning, when you're peaking, just get into that, hear that shit. It really does paint a fucking beautiful picture of a fucking carnival carnage.
So you mentioned that this, you know, to your point about this song especially being an introduction, you mentioned that this Joker's card is like, it should technically be like the first Insane Clown Posse Joker's card, you know?
Yeah, that's what it feels like to me. It really does,
like, because they finally figured it out. They finally found like this is the gimmick. That track lays it out quite vividly. This is what you're in for. Fucking here goes, and then it dives right into fucking Murder Go Round, you know?
So Murder Go Round, this song I've played so many fucking times. I know almost every, like I said, I'll probably stumble on a few words, but damn near every fucking word. I could probably rap it all the way through. Give me a few tries. I could definitely do it all the way through without slipping up.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
The beat, man, just,
whoa.
It's got that, it almost sounds like it's got the, almost the carnival ride sound.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I can understand
some of the samples they're using.
The sounds by themselves wouldn't really trigger that, but you know, Mikey Clark, which I'm assuming produced this, he has this way of like melding these sounds that really may not go that great together. But there's some like weird machinery songs. There's gongs, and I mean, he somehow makes it with carnival music. Literally, this part.
You know what this song? You know what this song reminds me of?
What?
It's probably gonna sound weird. Wind Up Toys, or something like that. Like a huge wind up set of like goofy, wicked things, and like just things happening, toys popping in and out and shit, like mousetrap or domino effect type of things, you know? Like, that's what Mikey Clark did. He just did this domino effect of samples and sounds, and just when they all fucking fell and got put together, it was just crazy tight.
So this song, as far as I know, doesn't really have a point. It's just them like spitting, you know, raps. It's like
Murder Go Round. It's about doing gangbanging shit and then it coming back around to you.
Okay. I gotcha. What you dishing out, I catch it comes back to you.
Yep.
I gotcha. All right.
Yep. And it's all just, you know, zany stories about fucking doing ghetto shit in Detroit, and it all come back around to you, man. Murder Go Round. And it also has a ride feel.
Yeah.
I think it has like gangbanging street ghetto rap, but also carnival ride at the same time.
All right, here, let's skim through this. Good scratching on this shit.
Yeah, that's all I really gotta say about it, man. I love
it. There's a skit at the end. I knew that when I was listening to it the other day, I knew there was one, at least one, that we skipped. It might just not be on Spotify. Oh, never mind. I listened to it on Spotify. All right. So the next song's Chicken Hunting. The original Chicken Hunting, which everybody and their mamas heard the Chicken Hunting we all know and love, but this is the original.
So over here, man. To the people who've read the book, I'm sure they remember this, but after reading the book, I got a little tidbit. I remembered a little tidbit of information about this. So they did the Chicken Hunting video, or they did the Chicken Hunt song when they when they signed to Jive, I believe.
Okay.
Or whatever that, it might have been Jive, I can't remember. They wanted to do a chicken hunting video.
Okay.
So they got a video done for the original chicken hunt, and the guy was like, Jay goes on about the guy wanted to fucking put bikers in our video. We're like, what the fuck? How does that make sense? And a guy came up to me and said, hey, this director, he's new and he loves bikers and Hell's Angels. He just wants to put bike. Just let him do it. So they let him fucking do it. Jay was so pissed about it. So
if you go really
back,
funny.
If you go back and watch this video, there's apparently a bunch of bikers in the video that have literally nothing to do with the video. Jay didn't want him in there.
Here you go. I'll show the viewers. This is the video for chicken hunting.
Yeah, which I like the video. I like the whole.
So this the audio is not matching up because we're just watching the video, but listening to it on Spotify. I want to see if we can find the bikers though.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. There they
are. Yeah. So there's a bunch of bikers that they hated, didn't want any fucking part of.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool looking video.
Yeah, it's an all right video.
For 1994.
It's cool for the first video, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, shit. There was the biker.
Yeah.
They were probably just playing them off as the rednecks in this video.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Oh, well.
Well, apparently the director didn't have a fucking clue. Jay had a lot to do with it because they brought a bunch of people to be in the video and stuff like that. But
yeah, this song's just about killing rednecks. It's cool. I don't like it as much as the new version, but it's fine. I'm glad they made it because they wouldn't have made it the newer version. Yeah.
So another tidbit of the newer version, they didn't want to do the new version.
Really?
They didn't want to do it.
Oh, shit.
Jive talked him into it. And after they got it done, then they were like, oh, fuck yeah, this is crazy. But yeah, Jay didn't want to do it at first.
Wow.
And when they shot the video to the new chicken hunting, Jive was like, or that's a show. They actually did a concert there.
Okay.
So what Jive did was like they wanted to do retakes to shoot the video, and Jay was like, no, we're not doing that. We're doing one fucking take. We're doing a show. We're not doing a chicken hunting video shoot. We're doing a show for the Juggalos.
I respect that.
So when chicken hunting comes on, you better get it because we're doing it when we're not redoing it. So Jive wanted to do that, but Jay was like, no, we're not redoing it. So Jive, and they also used the original chicken hunting. So if you watch the Chicken Hunt Slaughterhouse mix video,
you'll see parts of that.
Well, no, it's not. They're actually singing. The audio that they were performing is the original.
Oh wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so that's all that energy you're seeing is actually coming from the original beat in the original music. Yeah,
that is interesting. Yeah, because this song is not what you would call like a very energetic or a live hype song, but new version obviously is the most crazy song they've done.
I just thought it was funny that they didn't want to do that.
That is weird. But yeah, this song's funny as fuck. It's an ICP classic, you know. But the original version, it's forgettable to me.
Not
my favorite on the album. Yeah.
My favorite part of the original is the mandolin breakdown.
Oh. Okay.
I want to learn how to play that.
That would be sweet. All right. So next song's coming up. It's Mr. Johnson's Head. This is another song. This is a storytelling song.
Yeah, so what I remember. Okay, so this song to me is one of the first story songs that displayed the Jay's storytelling.
Yeah.
His knack for storytelling.
Absolutely.
I think this was the one that, and still one of my favorite storytelling songs he's ever done, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just had like this, like I can only imagine being an ICP fan from the beginning and then actually hearing this song.
Oh,
but I'm like, okay. Cause you know, there was Wizard of the Hood and stuff, but there was something more simple, but more to this beat.
Okay.
To this song. Wizard of the Hood, there was a lot going on, you know, but this one was simple, cut to the chase. But it still expanded more, you know, on the lore.
They're the storytelling in this song really, like, I mean, it sets a standard as far as like what you should expect from like a dark, like serious ICP song. You know what I mean? Like, as silly as this concept of this song is, like, Jay is not, like, joking on this song. You know what I mean?
No, he's not.
He's like, you could tell he's, like, feeling it. And especially to your point about being an ICP fan back then, imagine if you were in high school back then.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, you were already, like, a juggalo. Like, you know, the type of people that are juggalos typically in high school, like, outcast, you know, type of people. Listening to this song, it's literally, like, about an outcast murdering his teacher and fucking no one is suspecting him.
I mean, you know? I was in high school listening to this song, and yes, yeah, this spoke volumes to me.
Yeah.
Because everything he says in this, I was damn near thinking at that time in my life. You know, like, fuck school. Why am I learning about this bullshit? Fuck these teachers. Blah, blah, blah.
Fuck Washington, Benjamin.
Fuck them all out. You can suck my nuts till your wooden teeth fall out.
Yeah, I've always loved that Christopher Columbus line too.
Yeah,
I mean, he's nothing but an old dead fuck with a compass.
it's just great.
Ran up on a beach and threw everybody off. Yeah, I mean,
then they claim discovery. Or, yeah.
You know what's crazy is, like,
and now we all applaud.
He was saying that shit in 1994, and, like, just now people are starting to get hip to, like, Columbus being a piece of shit and, like, not wanting to celebrate Columbus Day and shit. You know?
Yeah.
Like 25 years later, which, by the way, this is timely. I saw that Ringmaster is 25 years old last week.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that. Yeah. Yeah, when we shot the first one, we probably, you know, did it the day before or something like
I didn't know that.
What, 25th anniversary of Ringmaster, man?
So
fucking nuts.
Yeah.
There's, I think they got 25% off on their
Psychopathic merch website. Yeah, I was like that.
I want
Ringmaster
that
gold
vinyl
is so tight.
I want
tight.
That vinyl, man.
But yeah, they still want $22 and then shipping.
And you won't get it for a year.
Yeah, right. No shit. So you can get it on Amazon, though. I don't know if it's similar price.
Yeah.
But yeah, this song is dope as fuck. It's a classic. The remake is just as good to me. I like it just as much. But the original, I think I may have mentioned on the last time we did this, but it's akin to songs such as Under the Moon and Prom Queen, like those really dark, serious storytelling songs.
You could almost make an album with those type of songs, and they would all, like, fit and go together.
And it's a nice window into Jay's psyche, you know, because, you know, to write a song like that, you gotta feel it, you know.
Absolutely.
Like, no fucking normal happy go lucky like soccer mom is thinking the shit to write a song like this, you know?
No.
Nope. All right. Comparing ICP to a soccer mom is stupid.
There probably are juggalo soccer moms.
Probably nowadays, yeah.
Absolutely, shit, man.
I mean, when we were growing up, teenage girls that were our age, that were into ICP, you know, they're fucking grown and have kids and jobs and shit. They're listening to this podcast right now.
Hello. Go get your kid from soccer. You're late.
Southwest Song, amazing. That's one of my favorite songs on the album.
Yeah. Yeah.
The beat is super tight. When I first listened to this album back in the day, this was one of the songs that really stood out to me.
Me too. Love the beat, man.
It is so good. The shit they say in this is, like, I mean, it blew my mind, like, back then, like, where he says, like, I feel I'm in the corner of a circle room in about 13 in the afternoon. I was like, oh my, that blew my 14-year-old mind.
Yeah. I mean, it's still pretty creative.
Yeah, I agree.
To this day, you don't hear people rap about crazy shit like that.
That like when I was writing and shit like that, like, I would always try to think of funny, weird shit like that to say. And that's because of lines like that. You know what I mean? It's so off the wall.
I was trying to think of, like, this song always reminded me, like, when I heard Echo Side, it always reminded me of this song.
Really?
Yeah, because I guess just because of that one lyric, and there's something similar to Echo Side.
Okay.
I always connected those two songs for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, this song is mainly just them, like, flexing, like, gangster juggalo shit, you know, crazy shit. But
yeah, what I say about it last episode, this to me is almost like the ICP's version of the blues.
Yeah, you did say that,
because even the bass line, the notes of the bass line are akin to, like, blues bass line.
Okay.
Like if you would just strip this beat completely down and have the notes laid out, you could put it over actual guitar and bass and it would sound like a blues song.
I could agree with that. I'll say that, like, their rapping in this song is, like, top notch too, by the way. Like,
Yeah,
the bars. They got bars on this song.
Yeah, and it's and it's real calm.
Yeah,
which is another good thing. They're not like overdoing it, but it's still ICP. Yep. You know,
very ICP.
Yeah.
All right. There we go. This is my favorite part. Me and the Grim Reaper, best of friends. He's always hanging around waiting for me to die. Shot again, my pool. He's not a bad guy. there goes that line. 13 in the afternoon. All right. Let's check.
Jay sounded pretty damn beefy back then.
Yeah.
He sounded mean.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, he was built for a while back then, because he did work out because he wanted to wrestle. Like, they always did the wrestling thing on the side. Yeah. So, like, you could tell he had that kind of beefy sound to him at probably this time frame.
Yeah. Yeah, that was skit at the end. That was super funny.
A good one.
Get Off Me Dog. Great. That's a Shaggy solo song.
Shaggy flexing.
Yeah.
For the first time, right?
I think so. Like on a solo track?
Yeah.
I think so.
There's really nothing on
the shit he says in this song is crazy, man. Like, but like, sting your chin. I've never heard that before.
Yeah. I didn't know what the hell this song was about for the longest time. I mean, obviously, I assumed it was like he's telling people to leave him alone.
Yeah.
But it's like, what the fuck kind of way are you? Sting your chin is definitely one.
Sipping on a blunt, puffing on a 40-odio. I mean,
this is true wordplay.
Yeah, absolutely. I was gonna say, we've all wrote these songs where like you write a line and then just kind of play off of it. Like, it doesn't make sense necessarily, but it's just a fun next thing to say. You know, that's seems like what he was doing on this song. He was just probably scribbling in his fucking notepad and decided to, you know, drop this, and it was tight as fuck, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, this is one of the better songs on the album, I think.
Yeah,
he goes off on this shit.
Yeah,
I could do a whole episode breaking down like every line of this song, because like the economy of words, like the choices of the exact words and phrases he uses is so unique, and like no one's ever said this combination of words, you know.
Yeah, to me, it was this song's an example of what Shaggy has that Jay doesn't have.
Yeah, what's that?
Like, just the way he's rapping in this, what Shaggy displays in this, Jay doesn't really do, or I don't think can do. Like,
yeah,
Shaggy has this way of not being present in his raps, but like just saying like just funny thing, you know, because Jay is like real present.
Yeah,
he's like, I'm here, I'm telling this story. Okay. Shaggy's more of a Let me sit in the background real quick, but give you these funny thoughts. And I
get what you're saying. I imagine it being like, I think Jay's more like a technical like writer, like he writes and perfects his verse probably, but Shaggy probably like just writes some shit down, like it's dope right off the bat, like what Chris does, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like honestly, that's how I see it.
Yeah, yeah. All right, he's talking about one of our buddies who's an incredible rapper.
Yeah. But yeah, I bet you that's what he does, man. Because I mean, some of the shit he says, even on like the brand new album, Fearless Fred Fury, the one song he's like, "And motherfuckers like me or motherfuckers like you ain't motherfucking right, dude. I'll fucking fight you." Like he just he drops like 10 F bombs within like a line. Like no one's writing that to try to be technical. He's just like, it was tight to say it, you know?
Yeah, Shaggy probably is the one take guy in between the two of them. You know, exactly, with writing and probably recording.
Yeah.
There's definitely been a lot of verses throughout the years where Shaggy, you could tell, it didn't fucking give a shit. Yeah. You know, he was just like, whatever.
Yeah, just go listen to every verse he dropped on Black Rain.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. That was.
I mean, he borderline like ruined that album.
Now there was, I think that coincided with the air with his drinking, his heavy drinking era.
Yeah, you might be onto something there.
I don't know for sure, but I think Jay said something about that around in the Wraith Shangri-La era. And I think Black Rain came out in that era.
Yeah, that was around then. Yeah, absolutely.
And he noticed that Shaggy was drinking and getting fucked up every night and stuff like that. So that I honestly think Shaggy went through a while where his drinking affected his shit.
Well, if that's the case, like it definitely shows like in that.
Yeah. Same with Jay though. Jay's been through multiple eras where his drug abuse has fucked him over. Yeah. Like his fucking Tylenol and his pain pills and shit he's been addicted to.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, it you can see it, man. Like the drugs will affect your creative ability.
Mm. All right, so the next song, Who Asked You? This song's crazy. This is another like just crazy song. It's funny they did this like back to back. Get Off Me Dog and Who Asked You. Yeah. They're both kind of similar, but yeah. This one's a lot more energetic, I guess.
This song, and I see literal clowns like in this song. I see like I when I see this, I literally feel like I'm in a carnival on carnival grounds and seeing clowns jumping around being fucking retarded. Sorry, can we use the R word these days?
Retarded, I think, is still on par for the course here.
More retarded. But yeah, like just like it's just. I mean, it's a true, like, wicked, zany clown song, man.
Yeah. Yeah, this song is another just one of those, like, they just wrote, they wrote some wacky shit and recorded it, and it turned out great.
Yeah.
Why do we do the things that we do? Who asked you? I mean...
The scratching on it's really good. It's like damn near through the entire song.
Like, do you really think they sat down like, look, I got an idea for a song called Who Asked You, all right, where we literally just rap about random shit. How about it? Like, I think this is more like wrote some bars, recorded it, made up a hook on the spot.
Exactly. This is just them probably sitting in the studio. Mikey Clark's making a beat. They're sitting there or whatever, wherever they're at this point.
Yeah.
They're just sitting around. Jay's writing dumb shit. Yeah, fuck yeah, man.
All right, that song's dope, though.
This is a studio, what is it, a studio squatter song where you're just chilling and you write it.
Chilling at the studio.
$85 an hour.
The next song's The Dead One.
Has this one grown on you at all?
I'll be honest. Like, I try to listen to the song, and I keep, like, tuning out. I can't help it. Like,
yeah.
It's hard, man. Like, this has always been one of my least favorite ICB songs, and it's just because... It's the slowness of it is really.
Yeah, I'm not going to say anything because I can't pay attention to it anymore. But there was a time when a young Carver would put this on, and it would speak volumes to me, and almost creep me out. And I'd be sitting in my room or something late at night, high, getting ready to go to sleep, listening to this shit, and just putting me in this atmospheric, weird, bizarre state of mind. So, I definitely had my moments with this song in the past.
So this song, he's just singing about being dead and like how his life sucks and shit. Is that pretty much what's happening?
Yep. Okay. I mean, it's a song from the eyes of a zombie. That's what I always got from it.
I mean, I can't think of anything up right now off the top of my head, but they've done songs like in this vein that's better executed. So, and maybe that's why this song just, I don't know. It's always been like kind of a flop to me, but.
Yeah, you know.
Again. I mean, to be honest, I don't skip it. It's just one of like this is how much I love Ice B. This is one of my least favorite songs. I still don't skip it.
Yeah,
it's fine. I mean, it's okay. But if you love Ice B,
I'm sure
it's four and a half minutes of this.
Yeah, many people probably agree. It's just not a. It's not a hype song. It's not like a fun song.
All right, enough.
But I think it's a good creative. Expression.
Yeah. It's a good exercise.
For ICP, if you will.
It was good exercise for them to make the other great songs they did. You know, sometimes you just gotta get some of them out of you.
Yep.
The next song's My Funhouse.
Incredible, one of my favorites.
This is one of the best songs on the album. It's so this gives me like the carny like vibe.
Me too, absolutely. And
I mean, they're literally talking about like being at a funhouse, so obviously, but
And a Rage Against the Machine sample.
Okay. I didn't catch that.
Yep.
Okay. Boys in trouble. Down on it. To the ghetto. Other weird people.
So I'm trying to think of the Rage song. It's a Bullet. Maybe we could pull up Bullet in My Head. Rage Against the Machine, Bullet in My Head.
What part is the sample?
It should be through the whole song.
Oh. Here, I'll pause this. Rage Against the Machine, Bullet in the Head. Let's see. Oh,
that's it.
Ah, bitch boy's in trouble.
Trouble. Car broke down on the ride through the ghetto. Other weird people, they gotta get the fuck out.
Need to use the phone.
Yeah, it's legit the Rage Against Machine.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah, that's really tight. I didn't know that.
Uh-huh.
That's some fun trivia. Hold on.
I was a Rage fan before I was an ICP fan, so like I caught that real quick. It's sped up a little bit.
Yeah, I could tell.
Yeah.
Do you think it was an actual sample, or do you think they just remade it?
I don't see, man. Yeah, it could be either or.
Yeah, it's very, very similar.
I mean, it could possibly be the actual sample. I'm not sure.
That's pretty cool. I like that.
Or just Mikey Clark listened to that song and thought it was cool, and he remade it.
Yeah. Oh. Somebody said this song makes me want to go outside and flip my car. That's super funny. All right, that's tight. Yeah. This, what more can you say? This song's fucking great. If you want an idea, a good taste of what a good ICP song is from back in the day, why not this song? I think it's fucking sweet.
I've always wanted to. I always had dreams of building a funhouse when I was a kid and playing this.
Yeah.
I thought that would be cool as shit.
See, I listened to Malenko first, so this song to me, I immediately got notes of House of Horrors. This is the House of Horrors of this album. Mm-hmm. And ICP continues to deliver on this kind of theme throughout their entire career, but there's usually at least one or two songs that fit that description.
Yeah.
Oh, here you go. A Joker's card. Bitch, got the luck of the draw. Gonna have the ice
your jaw. That was one that stuck out to me. Ice your jaw. I've never heard that. Yeah. That sounds cool. You just fucking hit somebody and put them on ice, basically.
Shit's tight. Oh, this song's tight. I mean, they flow. I love the creaking door for some reason is in there, but it's so tight. Get to go to the next phase.
I like
phase.
How it pauses,
No, because you can't. That shit's tight.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, you can make a whole album out of these songs, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you could really, pick a genre and make, an ICP album out of all kinds of their tracks. It's pretty, it'd be a fun exercise, Oh, for the ringmaster! Oh, does Jay sing this whole song?
Yeah.
Because you're a big gut. That's what you get for it. Because you're a big gay rhyme pitchfork with get for it.
What you're good for.
Oh, there's Shaggy. He's just screaming.
Yeah.
All right.
Classic, man.
Yep. Good shit. Great song. All right. Moving on. The next song's For the Maggots. This song was always kind of forgettable, but I do like. I memorized it, and I like how they flow and shit, but I don't know. I think this is one of the not as... This is in the lower half of the good songs on this album to me. Not to shit on it, but I don't think anyone would ever say, oh, yeah, Ringmaster's tight. I love For the Maggots. I don't see it being a song they mention.
I never considered it a full song anyway. It's real short.
It is only a minute.
Yeah, I think it's
seconds.
Only a verse and a chorus or whatever, but it's almost a bridge to me. Stanky free. But I did I liked it. It was one of my favorites because I love the beat so much.
Yeah. I do like that whistling. It's very, very, again, Mikey Clark doing unique, weird shit. And that's why every ICP song sounds different, too. It's incredible.
But I like the anger in this song.
Yeah, they're just beating the shit out of people.
Yeah. But they're saying real shit. Yeah. They're calling people out on actual shit, real shit.
I do like the, it sounds like there's a reverse, sound effect that, I like that shit too. I mean, this song is really well produced for being a minute and 46 seconds long. Mm-hmm. But this and Get Off Me Dog, both super short, both super tight.
Yeah, it was always one I wanted to be longer.
Yeah. The next song, Wagon Wagon,
probably the best song on the album.
Yeah, I would
one
agree.
Of them.
I would agree.
One of my favorites. I mean, this is on. Man. What is it? It's on. Their greatest hits. What is it?
Mutilation Mix.
Yeah, it's on Mutilation Mix. I mean, it's a fucking Juggalo classic.
Something let the Juggalo sing. And I mentioned this last time, but that part right there was part of what is a Juggalo. And that immediately, again, I listened to that first when he says,
let the Juggalo.
Right here. Now shut your ass up and let the Juggalo sing.
Now, is he saying Juggala or Juggalo?
I think you're right there. He did say Juggala because he calls himself the Juggala on Carnival Carnage, right?
Yeah, I think it was still Juggala.
Yeah.
I don't think it quite morphed into Juggalo yet.
But yeah, this song is an ICP classic. It's fucking great. I mean, they've done several songs in this vein too. This song is all about what happens after you die and shit. This could easily be the song for this album. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The about the ring. Every album has a theme, like what happens after you die and shit. And this song like talks about that kind of shit.
The wagon taking your ass to fucking the afterlife.
Super catchy. I do recall when I got Forgotten Freshness, I think in the liner notes on that, it talks about how Hey Vato is like the, I don't want to say original, but like the B side of this song. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think it has some very similar like beats and shit. Hold on, let me play that real quick.
Okay, so they made Hey Vato and then said, scrapped it and said, let's take this beat, redo it somewhat.
Yeah.
And then actually make a, like a...
That's what I think is like, that's what I took from it. I've always kind of... Maybe not. Hold on. Wagon, dead by dragon. I mean,
this sounds very close. You know?
But yeah, this song is like completely different. Like all the lyrics are different. So in the hook's different, everything, but it does have a similar sounding like beat.
I can't wait to get to this album.
Oh yeah, this song is giving me more nostalgia than Ringmaster.
I love that song, but I still to this day don't really know exactly what it's about.
I don't either. Hey Vato. But yeah, anyways, this song is dope as fuck.
Some say it's just a but it's much worse.
Yeah, fucking one of my favorites, man. You can't really say much more about it. It's just fucking, it's awesome.
Anything at the end? Nope. The next song's The Loons.
One of my all-time favorite Ice Peace songs.
Wagon is?
Wagon Wagon, yes.
Okay. I think I probably
in
fair.
My probably at least in my top 10 for sure.
I think I made like a best of ICP play. Well, let me rephrase it. I did make a best of ICP playlist with, it has about 60 or 70 songs on it. Just like my favorites from every album. I literally went through every album, picked out like 3 or 4 or 5 favorites, and I'm 99% sure Wagon Wagon.
Yeah, if I was on an island and then they were like, you can only listen to 10 ICP songs for the rest of your life, Wagon would be on it.
Wow,
for
really?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Mine would just be like the first 10 tracks of Great Malenko. Probably not. But the next song's The Loons. This is another storytelling song where they're just talking about, as far as I know, Jay is being a loon, right? Or he can hear the loons.
Yeah. What is it? Voices in his head.
Yeah. So they're 3 blocks away at some point, and then they're 2 blocks away.
Yeah.
But this song always stood out to me because, like, that I'm the neck cutter and I'm 3 blocks away. I never heard anything like that, like in a song where like the hook changes like that, kind of, you know, which was super tight to me. Like the hook progresses the story just as much as the verse. That's cool, you know.
Yeah,
it's tight. Hold on, let's hear it. Let's relish in it for a second. Jay. That shit's tight.
Yeah.
This song, as far as I know, is like a Jay solo song. But yeah. I mean, these kind of songs also become like a staple in ICP's career. Where I mean, this song is pretty comparable to like a Mr. Johnson's Head, I guess. You could say it kind of fits in there. It's just a little more like storytelling-y. Like, no, let me rephrase that.
Oh,
it's a little less serious. It's more like, you know, he wanted to write this song. Like,
yeah.
You know,
it's almost like a 12.
Yes.
I would.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, something like that.
I think this song is like this album's 12, you know? Which 12 is a song on Riddlebox for those who don't know.
The Loons, I love it, man. I think it was one I never fully memorized, but I do love the song. I like the flow. I think it's like a real fast kind of flow. And it gives me feelings of Carnival.
Okay.
Like, I feel like this could be on Carnival.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's a very like grimy beat.
Yeah.
You know? 5.5 minutes on the song. And this song has skits throughout it and all kinds of crazy shit. But
it's a big budget song, big production song.
This is the skit at the end.
And welcome back to Pillow Talk.
Pillow Talk.
I hope you with your bits.
I love
cozy with the ICP. So just wind back with a sparkling glass of Faygo.
That's Shaggy, right?
Yeah.
And just makes the bitches melt. Only on W Love.
Only on W Love.
All right, so the next song is Love Song. Whoops. We don't want to get that here yet. This song is very not PC. Like, it wouldn't fly today, probably. Yeah. But ICP, but then again, it's ICP, so it probably would. But.
So, you and I. They did another love song, right? Yes. Okay, so.
Which is one of their most popular mainstream songs.
Yeah, they should have kept going with the love song thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they had a whole album.
Oh, yeah.
Tunnel of Love.
You could say that, but that album only has a couple, like, actual songs that would fit that theme, I think. Yeah. Like, I don't think, well, Super Bowls fits it. Ninja doesn't, I don't think, but it's a great song. But nevertheless, love song, this song's just literally, like, them trying to, like, clown and be, like, R&B type guys. You know, it's a silly song, but I think it's funny. It accomplishes what they wanted to accomplish. Jay says some really fucking crazy shit in it, like, as far as...
Take the curl out your nut hair.
I always thought shit like that was crazy.
Why is that? I don't care about the hair growing out your back.
Yeah, it just says all kinds
of
wacky.
Yeah, it's definitely that reminiscent of that early maybe 80s, maybe early 90s R&B, like, over sexualized love songs.
That said, I never really, like, loved this song. It was fine. I didn't hate it, but that's not my favorite.
To me, this is comedy hour of Ringmaster.
Yeah.
Love song and Bugs on My Nugs is comedy hour.
That's, you know what I mean?
Once you get to this, it's like they're throwing some funny shit at you. It's
you've made it this far.
Yeah.
Yeah, this song is obviously just meant to be like a goof, and it's fine. I mean, especially with Shaggy screaming and shit, but you know, I don't have anything bad to say about it. It's just, it is what it is.
Yeah.
He's literally, I wonder if that's like a genuine, like in the middle of him screaming, like he starts coughing and shit. Hold on, here he goes.
That might be, man.
I hope so. That's so funny.
It's the other.
I mean, like, this might be like their first like bitch song. Did they have one on Carnival? Well, Black in Your Eyes, if you want to call that a bitch song.
Redneck Ho.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, they kind of got in a habit of after this too, like every album kind of has a bitch song.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of artists kind of do that. It's kind of annoying, but whatever. This is fine. All right, moving on. I don't want to keep going on and on because Bugs on My Nugs, one of the best songs on this fucking album.
One of the best songs, period, again. I mean, just classic, funny ICP, not giving a fuck. We're saying the most outlandish shit possible.
Yep.
And the flow, though.
Yeah.
The flow, though, man.
And I do it at the drop of a dime. And I get the scabies almost every time.
I mean, everything they say in this rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, it's so tight. And like the way they come in, like Jay comes in. Well, yeah. I'm calling Jay and I ain't no bitch. You know,
the,
like
the beat changes. Yeah, man.
It's very well done. I mean, this song is literally about getting bugs on your nutsack. I mean, it's quite clear. So, but it's when I first got this album, mind you, I was like 14 or 15 years old. This was the song that, like, when I went to play this album, I went to this song. You know, like, I played this song first. I usually skipped through everything else at first. This is, like, when I showed people, like, listen to this fucking song, you know?
I was going to say that. This is a song I show people.
Yeah.
Like, when I'm, like, when somebody doesn't know ICP, I'm like, yo, if you really want to alienate them, put this fucking thing on.
Yeah.
But I was going to, if you want to flip back over, I was going to show this. So this is the original Ringmaster release.
Yeah.
There's the back.
Not shiny.
Yeah.
Boring Comic Sans font.
Track 14. I don't know if you can see. It's Bugs on My Nugs.
Yep.
And then.
N-U-G-Z.
Yeah.
Bugs on My Nugs.
There's the original disc. And then. So this is the shiny gold foil re-release.
So shiny. Cool font.
This is the Island re-release. And then it's Bugs on My
Nuts.
Yeah, N-U-T-Z.
Maybe whoever like made the cover art and shit just thought it was a typo.
Yeah, I don't know.
Bugs on My Nuts. Fuck calling it Bugs on My Nuts. If you call it Bugs on My Nuts, you are not a juggalo. I'm telling you that right now. So, I'm gatekeeping this instance.
So on the card that came with
Shockumentary,
it says Nugs as well.
Yes, that is the true title of the song.
Yes.
Bugs on My Nuts. Fuck off. They don't even... Oh, they do say, yo, nuts, we want your nuts, I guess. I bet you whoever was... typing that out. Just listened to the song and got nuts on the brain.
Obviously, it was someone from Ireland probably handling it.
They had nuts on the brain. All right. This song's fucking great, though. I mean, if you want an ICP song that is guaranteed to make you laugh, this is a great one to pick.
Every time, man. Yep.
I literally laugh every time I listen to the song.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there's just timeless lines.
Can't keep my motherfucking hands on my drawers.
Roach Motel up under your balls. Nah, I'd rather stick them in a deep fry and sizzle those motherfuckers on my wine.
Yeah, sizzle those motherfuckers off my wine. So funny.
I always met this bum in the back of a dumpster, fucking turning around there, talking like a humster.
So stupid. Oh, God. All right. House of Mirrors. I love this song. God, I love this song. This song, I think, is their tightest, rap song on this album.
Yeah, I was going to say this is probably another one of the, one of the best ones on the album.
Yeah, this song is, this is another one of those ones we talked about where it's kind of like a carnival
exhibit. Yeah, another attraction song.
Yeah.
Which, God, I love the attraction songs,
me too.
Man. I've never done it, but I want to make an album of all the attraction songs.
We'll make a Deck One Delt Spotify playlist, and we'll make that shit, because somebody has to if they haven't already.
They need to, you saw in the Fearless Fred, the new shit that they're coming out with, basically playlists.
Yeah.
They need to do that.
Yeah, that would be
make
cool.
Make a fucking ICP attraction.
Ooh,
whatever.
Like the actual carnival. Ooh, yeah. You know what you should do is draw it. We'll make the track listing, then draw it with all the little, a map with all the attractions around.
Oh, that'd be cool.
That would be sweet. Oh, yeah.
like gathering map style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, did you see the gathering map?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Nothing to say about that. I just didn't know if you saw it. They released it the other day. But yeah, it's in Indiana this year.
I know, man.
It's not too far, man.
It's not too far. I wouldn't mind going, but Indiana's fucking, they're strict, dude, with their drug laws and they're.
I don't know if somebody was fucking around, but somebody posted on one of those Juggalo Facebook pages that there's no smoking on the grounds.
I don't know, dude. I wouldn't doubt it. Fucking Indiana is trash, man.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm just kind of I do want to go, but you're probably going to have to smuggle your shit in, get you a balloon and fucking smuggle your shit in up your ass or something.
Stick it up your booty hole.
Yeah. Up the booty hole bug. But yeah, I don't know, man.
Okay. Well, House of Mirrors, dope ass song. It features Capital E, who was on, was he on Taste on Carnival Carnage?
Yeah, I believe it was Taste. Because Greasy was Beverly Kills.
Yes.
And then, yeah, Capital E. Yes.
But yeah, this song is super dope. The whole song, the attraction is, you look at your reflection and it shows you who you really are. And it's kind of a scary thing, but so they talk a lot about Richies and bigots, and which a lot of their attractions kind of feature kind of characters.
Yeah, it's always reflections of yourself.
Hall's Illusions, Terror Wheel, Amazing Maze even, which is, I think Amazing Maze is an underrated one.
Oh, Amazing Maze is great. Yeah.
I love that fucking song.
Me too.
Except now it's tainted. It's fucking got Jamie Madrox all over it. Just kidding. Just kidding. I still love his part on that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right. But yeah, this song's dope. I don't know what more to say about it. I could suck its dick all day.
I will say this. I the broken glass sound.
Yeah.
That is on point.
Again, Mikey Clark, thank you.
Yeah.
You're the fucking shit for doing stuff like that. I mean, it's all kinds of twinkling and glass and listen to this.
And I don't know what that is. That sounds like an organ, maybe. But that is carny all the way. That reminds me of Carnival.
It's almost like a little whistle.
Yeah.
Like a little piccolo or something.
I like this. This shit's catchy.
Yeah. Here comes Capital E. He comes in hard, too.
He rips it.
Why ICP should let you live.
Yeah,
it's like, hey Jay, or where you going, bitch? Crash that or bash that shit against the wall or whatever he says.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you going, bitch?
Oh, you know one thing I do appreciate? I hate when people feature an artist and they ignore the subject matter. You know what I mean? Especially on a song like this where there's a subject, there's a topic, we're rapping, we're our verses are little stories. We're talking, and then, but my point is, Capital E sticks to it. He does a great job of like integrating his verse into it.
I know as years went on, they like ICP stopped caring so much about that, but I guarantee you, in this era, at this point, Jay was like, no, like he wouldn't let that shit slide. Like, you're rapping about the content or you're not on the song.
Yeah. Well, like, one song that stands out in particular that I always think about when I think about that is whatever that one song they did with Bushwick Bill. Out he, it's like out there. I can't remember. It's fucking me up because it's on here. Hold on, let me play it real quick. So I get.
I remember the one that Twisted did with Bushwick Bill on Green Book. That's the worst song on there.
Yeah, I agree. This was on Psychopathics from Outer Space 2.
Ain't gonna help with a light till people dying tonight. Cause yo, this maniac is out there. Hanging like a possum. Murder drinks, I got some. Spot him. He'll come round to the bottom and slaughter him
out. Anyways, don't you dare go out there. That's how the hook goes.
I don't remember that song for shit.
Well, anyways, Bushwick's verse on this sucks balls. But their whole verse is like about how, like, don't go out in the woods and shit. You know, it's all kinds of crazy, creepy shit. And he's like, somewhere out here are remnants of Bushwick. And like, starts talking about like weird shit. Like, I mean, I get it. They just wanted to get fucking Bushwick Bill in their song. But yeah, he did a bad job.
He was doing shit with them at that time. Cause like I said, he was on Green Book and he was on that. So and then they were at the gathering that 1 year.
Yep. And what was it? ICP during one of those, during that Vlad interview, I think they were talking about how they were proud that they got the Ghetto Boys back together.
Yeah.
That's pretty tight. That's literally like their proudest moment.
Yeah, their proudest moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they love the Ghetto Boys.
Yeah.
I will say, if you want a good, like, out in the woods type like song, like I can't remember what it's called, but Jay literally, I like playing in the woods at night. I can't remember what that's off of.
That's on,
but that's a pretty good song.
Either
I like playing in the woods at
night. It's either I Have the Storm or it might be on that like Juggalo or the Gathering of the Juggalo sampler or some shit that they had. I know what you're talking about though. That song is tight.
I want to say it was on like Death Pop.
Really?
Like the B sides.
Oh, whatever. It may be. Yeah, look, it might have been on this Mikey Clark.
Yeah, yeah.
Emporium.
Yeah, which this is a fucking killer like album. You need to listen to that shit.
I've listened to it, but I don't remember much about it.
Oh, that shit's. I love that. I like it better than the actual album.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's play in the woods. Like playing in the woods at night. This song is tight.
Yeah, the beat's nice, and Jay says funny ass shit the whole time through it.
That song is tough.
Yeah, it's a good one.
All right. Wrapping it up, man. The last song, Ringmaster's Word. It's the weirdest song on this album. But the beat, I've always loved the beat.
Yeah, like, the beat's incredible, but I think that's just really what it's there for. It's for you to just jam an outro to the album, just to jam out to. Maybe at that time they were still like doing shit for like DJs. You know, like, here's our album, there's a song you can play, you know, the last song for like a DJ. I'm maybe that's what it was.
That's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, it has like these clips from some old timey sounding movie or something,
Which I love. I love.
Yeah,
I do that shit.
I've always loved when they do it every single time, and I wish they did it more often these days. But
Old Evil Eye probably spawned from like Mikey Clark doing that.
Yeah, yeah, they've done it on so many songs too. But yeah, like I don't know if I'm guessing this voice is supposed to be the Ringmaster, but he's not saying anything pertinent to his lore or anything. He's just literally like saying, strike my heart. Like a vampire.
Strike my heart. Yeah. It might have been from like Dracula or something. Who knows?
Yeah. But yeah, it's cool. I mean, I love how it sounds. I could just jam out to this for a while, you know?
Yeah.
Nothing much to say about it though. It's fine. I did mention that it's interesting they put this song at the end of the album when this seems more like a second track kind of feel. But the intro track for Ringmaster is kind of an intro and that song in one.
Yeah, yeah.
Which this is kind of before they got into the habit of kind of splitting the intro skit from the intro song, which they continued making a staple from this album forth.
Yeah. And I think we decided that last time we did it that this album didn't necessarily have the greatest ending song like ICP have come to do, like great album, you know, cappers, like, you know, just finish off
home,
the
album. Pass Me By.
Yeah. And then I think I asked you, I was like, well, which one do you think would have been the best out of the songs?
Let's see. I don't remember what I said. Let me see if I recall. I said the song I would pick out of this album to be the final song in the album would be Southwest Song.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the same song I picked
that,
as well.
That song is like right in the vein with like, I'm coming home or when I get out, you know, shit like that. Yep. Like, I mean, Pass Me By is a little more serious for ICP, but I mean, I think Pass Me By is like the greatest end song they've ever done. One of the greatest songs they've ever done, honestly. But yeah, like that kind of set a standard and then they did like Nothing's Left and shit. But I think Southwest Song would fit in there with more of the earlier ones like that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, man.
And even Joke Your Mind was a good like final track for Beverly Kills. Yes. You know, I think we agreed on that. What's the final track on Terror Wheels? Amy's in the Attic.
Yeah. Hmm. Which I don't think the sideshows necessarily count as much. They don't need to have like, they don't need to have such an incredible ending song on the sideshows.
I agree with that. But you know, they usually still do.
Yeah. They're
they don't need to, but they usually still do.
No. What was the end? What was Tunnel of Love?
I think When I Get Out, I'm headed straight to the stove.
Yeah,
that's a big long cold
fucking thing. Fucking love that song, man.
Me too.
Love
it. All right,
but
man.
Yeah, man, Ringmaster is a fucking Juggalo classic. It's just an all around good album. Keeps my attention the whole way through. The beats are great. ICP was truly formed, I think, with this album. You know, Carnival Carnage was like, let's start this, let's do this. Mm-hmm. They didn't really know, I mean, it's a great album, don't get me wrong, but they didn't really know exactly what the gimmick was, I don't think.
Yeah, they even said that during one of those Vlad interviews clips, like Shaggy was like, I said they get their timeline kind of mixed, but Shaggy was like, yeah, I think we didn't even start painting our face till like Beverly Kills or something. And Jay's like, nah, it was sooner. But
yeah,
he seems like, I don't know, they seem like they don't agree on some of that shit.
Yeah.
One thing I did find interesting about watching that interview, especially Jay, I think you told me like Jay looks just looking down a lot, but it seems like, it's funny cause, you know, it happens to all of us when we're talking to somebody and like, they just start cutting you off and like talking about what they want to talk about shit. And like, you kind of just let them. So it seems like Jay's just kind of like waiting his turn to talk. Sometimes he's like, but then, like, you know, and then he continues what he was saying. He doesn't even acknowledge what Shaggy was saying.
They're so bad at that, man. Like, they are horrible at giving each other the space and room to talk. Jay just wants to fucking talk.
Yeah.
He does not give a shit about Shaggy talking. And I think it was like that for a while because Shaggy didn't give a fuck about talking. Yeah. But now Shaggy wants to say more. He actually it seems
which
like
I'm glad.
Yeah. I love listening to Shaggy. He's funny as hell, man. like I said, we need to make a game of, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It was funny too, like when Jay would do that shit to him during the interview, like Jay would just continue talking to Shaggy, would like look at the camera and be like
yeah, they're true brothers, man.
Yeah,
true brothers.
You definitely get that vibe, man. Like, but you know, Jay obviously still has an immense amount of respect for him. He wasn't like cut him off to like talk shit. You just let him say what he said, then he said what he said. You know what I mean? Like they got a good camaraderie.
Absolutely.
It's obvious.
I mean, obviously they're going to give each other shit, but like it's definitely, they would not have lasted this long if there was any, you know, type of bullshit between them like that. They've always been there for each other. Yeah. They've got each other through all their bullshit. And yeah, so.
Absolutely. All right, man. Well, let's wrap this bitch up.
All righty, man. Well, fucking love this album.
Another one down. Audio recorded. So we're good to go, man.
All righty.
All right. Well, check us out next time. Make sure you subscribe if you haven't already. And let us know what you think. Hit us up on Facebook and all that shit. All right.
All right, man. We'll slide this one back into the deck.
Slide right back. See you. We're going to shuffle on out of here.
Shuffle on out of here.
Catch you later. Peace.